It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe we're already into April, depending on when you're listening to this, either April 3rd or 4th, both after the 9 o'clock news. Where did March go? Where did February go? It's been over a year now since our world changed, our dental world, and everybody's world changed. In our case, March 16th of 2020, when the American Dental Association announced or recommended that you should only see dentists for emergencies. And, of course, that was the case from roughly March 16th to May 11th in New Hampshire. And so here we are a year later. Things are going well in the dental industry. People have returned and actually, you know, flocked back to the dentist. So there's been a lot going on. And of course, last week we had Eleanor Vien and the Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness Program, or PANDA. And April, of course, was Child Abuse Prevention Month, so it was quite appropriate for Eleanor Vien, who actually works for the gentleman I'm about to introduce for this weekend's show. And Eleanor does a great job here at Northeast Delta Dental. So another person that does a great job at Northeast Delta Dental is Dr. Joe Arante, who's our Vice President of Provider Network and Clinical Strategies, a dentist, but business person, entrepreneur as well. And prior to this position at Northeast Delta Dental, was the Chief Executive Officer for Previsor, which is the program that powers our health through a wellness program. And so that's actually relevant for today's program. And we'll probably segue into other dental topics. So, Joe, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy guy.
It's my pleasure, Tom. Thanks.
And, God, it's we're so blessed that you have family in Concord, New Hampshire. So that allows us to continue to have you as a super resource for Northeast Delta Dental. So I mentioned Previsor, which is a software company that Northeast Delta Dental acquired several years ago, and it powers our health through a wellness program. So take us back in your role as CEO of Previsor, and then talk about how the Previsor software helps us with the risk assessment process.
Well, it's the engine that powers our health through oral wellness, or HOW program, and it's essentially, people don't understand often don't understand risk and what it is, but it's really just the determination of whether an individual is going to get a disease or not, or it can measure the odds of the disease becoming worse without treatment over time, and it's usually based on a foundation is based on evidence or scientific evidence, but on a foundation of preventive factors and factors that or behaviors that impact the condition negatively. And it's really just an algorithm that weighs all these factors and says this person with this constellation of factors is more prone or less prone to getting either tooth decay or periodontal disease, gum disease. And it's kind of interesting that you can actually impact many of these things either through your home care or through preventive care at the dentist. And so that's one of the reasons that we're trying to intercept the disease rather than just wait till the disease happens and then fix the things that it destroyed and kind of restore the form and function of the teeth. We can actually prevent them, because both tooth decay and periodontal disease or gum disease are bacterial infections, and they can be prevented or mitigated to some extent.
And intercepting disease is actually the tagline of Previsor, so I'm glad you pointed that out. So take us through the process. So the vast majority of Northeast Delta Dental's customers and the employers that have dental insurance through Northeast Delta Dental, as well as the individuals in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont that have purchased an individual program through DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, has the Previsor or Health Rural Wellness or HOW program. So if I have that benefit and I walk into the dental office, kind of in words, describe, you know, the process that takes place from there.
Well, risk assessments can be done in a variety of ways. we've chosen to create a digital platform for these risk assessment tools to stay, to reside on. And that allows the dentist to, or the hygienist typically, to very quickly do an assessment, enter the clinical data that's necessary, as well as the patient-reported information, like health history and things like that, and very quickly then just hit enter. That shoots it off to Delta Dental's claim system. The claim system decides whether that patient's score qualifies them for a set of enhanced benefits or not, and it sends back a message in near real time, within seconds, a couple of seconds, to the dental office saying that this patient has qualified for these extra benefits. And the very cool thing about the HOW program is essentially there's a bunch of preventive factors that include things that you do at home or that the professional, the dentist or hygienist, can do for you in the office. And what all of this does, the HOW program, is it aligns the payment and it personalizes the benefits that you have with the types of things that will help prevent the disease for you. And that's the very cool thing, is it allows a dentist to provide those without having to get over an economic barrier for you as a patient. You know, it's paid for by Northeast Delta Dental to have those services that are evidence-based, which will improve your chances of having better oral health, which then drives into better overall health as well.
So that's quite a triple win-win, because the dentist gets to provide the enhanced services to the patient, which improves the oral health of the patient. So the patient is winning. And then, of course, the employer, Northeast Delta Dental, is, you know, covering all of this. Ultimately, it's somewhat reflected in an employer's premium rates. But the employee population is healthier. We now have several years of history with the Health, Wellness, and Wellness program, as Dr. Joe knows, and we've demonstrated, while certainly in the early years of the program, you're doing more preventative services such as cleanings, but in the long run, there's less of the big ticket items. So it's pretty exciting. And so, what do you think? If I'm a patient, and the hygienist explains, you know, that I need the additional cleaning, or at the end of the current exam and cleaning the adult fluoride varnish. So as a patient, I'm receiving all this information, and a picture's worth a thousand words. I know when I go in, I actually get to see it all, and my score is a 3, so I get these enhanced benefits, and it's pretty cool. So the patient, I'm assuming the patient really gravitates to this because they finally have some sort of, fact-based information as to, you know, why I should have, you know, continue to see the dentist, continue to take care of my teeth in between visits, but also go if I have to, you know, 3 times or 4 times a year instead of 2.
Well, the cool thing is that the power behind the HOW program, the provisor system, actually tells you what preventive factors you have and which ones you're lacking, and what factors or behaviors that you have that are creating more of a risk of disease, and what you can do about it. So better home care, it kind of explains why flossing daily is an important aspect of a preventive feature. It talks about, for tooth decay, maybe avoiding frequent exposure to sugary snacks or drinking fluoridated tap water, things like that. So it kind of gives you some of the things that you can do at home, and then it helps support the cost of doing some of the things that the professional, the dentist or the dental hygienist, can do for you in the office that have a cost associated with them. So it gets you a set of things that you can do to help yourself, a set of things that you can have done to you to help you, and aligns the benefits to pay for those things.
So this must be putting a huge smile on your face, because in your long career, long and distinguished career. You've been a practicing dentist. You've been the CEO of a dental service operation. You've been a CEO of an insurance company. You've taught at Columbia University and generally all of this in the dental field. So must put a pretty big smile on your face to see finally the risk assessments at least being universally applied in northern New England where we operate, and hopefully we're working with other Delta plans to get it across the country. But just kind of the evolution of preventative dentistry as opposed to drilling and filling.
Well, as you mentioned, you know, with COVID and the pandemic that we had, we've all learned a lot about public health strategies. And this is like the purest public health strategy when it comes to oral disease, because the diseases that we treat 99% of the time are preventable, and we just don't do it. We do a lot of prevention in dentistry, but we don't get upstream enough to actually change behaviors. And what a patient does at home has a pretty big impact. What we do has a pretty big impact as dentists and dental hygienists. And so it really kind of aligns all those things. And the very cool thing about it is at the end of the day, if you can achieve better oral wellness, which I think we're expert at Delta Dental, then you can actually reap overall health benefits as well, because there's been a fair amount of research that shows connections or relationships between periodontal disease and diabetes in particular, but also a whole array of conditions, pregnancy outcomes, pancreatic cancer, Alzheimer's disease, things that are hard to understand why they're related to periodontal disease. And what the common belief is that there's a relationship between the inflammation and infection in your mouth and these other conditions. It's the inflammatory load on your body and your body's reaction to that load that's causing these other or making these other diseases worse. It's not actually causing Alzheimer's, but if you're prone to Alzheimer's and have some of the other factors, it's another risk factor for it.
And let's pause there, because after commercial break, I would like to talk about this medical-dental connection, the correlations,
sure.
As well as why I end every speech with, you can't have good oral health without good oral health. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and with me this weekend is Dr. Joe Arante, who is the Vice President of NEDS, Northeast Delta Dental's provider network and clinical strategies, and prior to that was the CEO, Chief Executive Officer of the Previsor Corporation, which powers the Health and Wellness Program and a lot of the things that Dr. Joe has been talking about. So if you're listening to this on April 3rd and 4th, it's hard to believe, March has come and gone. And again, a big shout out to my last week's guest, Eleanor Vienne, who works for Joe. And directs our PANDA program, which stands for Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness. And April was Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we do a lot with a lot of partners in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont to educate the dental community on the expectations and the requirements if they see suspected, child abuse and neglect. Because as Eleanor said, 65% of injuries occur in the head and the neck, which dental professionals can routinely see. So Joe was ending the first part of our program with the medical-dental connection. So let's just start there in an overarching way. So you've been doing this now for decades. As mentioned, you've been a practicing dentist, you've run your own dental service operation, you've been in this field your whole life. Do you think in your sort of four decades of observing this, do you think there's a better understanding of the medical-dental connections? That's the first question. And the second question is, do you think that dentists and physicians, the communications between dentists and physicians, has that improved from your observations?
Well, in terms of the first question, if I remember correctly, it's the answer would be yeah, there's lots of relationships between oral health and overall health. And we spent a long time in the early research trying to demonstrate causality. In other words, that the dental disease caused the medical condition. And in reality, most cases, it doesn't appear to cause the medical condition, but it tends to be a threshold kind of event. So the more things you have stacked up, the more likely you are to have the medical condition. If you start to remove some of the things like periodontal disease or inflammation in the mouth, then you start to lower below the threshold where you actually have the medical condition, and that's how I would liken it. As far as the medical and dental cooperation, there are more and more, I'd say in the last 10 years, more and more people collaborating. It's actually part of the academic scene in terms of accreditation for dental schools. They're required to have what they call interprofessional education and interprofessional clinical experiences, which means basically that you're working with other medical or healthcare professionals to benefit your patients. So at Columbia, for example, we had a program where nurses and nursing students and nurse practitioners would come over and side by side with the dental students work up patients and help diagnose the patients. We also had a big program with our social work college at Columbia where we had social workers in the clinic helping patients with a lot of their other issues that they were having that made it difficult for them to comply. You know, we're fortunate where we are here in Concord, New Hampshire, that most of us are in reasonably good financial shape, or a lot of people are, and so we don't have to worry about things. But some of the things that we dealt with at Columbia with the patients was, I remember one time a young child being thrilled that we gave him a toothbrush because he said he wouldn't have to share the family's toothbrush anymore. He could have his own. Those are the kinds of things that the social workers would get involved with and really help us understand what the issues were and how we could help our patients to improve their quality of life much more than they could without our help.
So prior to COVID, we had Mary Otto, who wrote a book called Teeth, and
right.
She really described kind of the evolution of, you know, dental schools and how it was, you know, separated from, you know, from medical school,
right.
Medical schools. And so so you think now there's better collaboration between the professions, which is great, because I think the rising tide ultimately helps the patient, because nowadays, you know, we are expecting that the toddler by age one or when the first tooth erupts goes to the dentist. And so, you know, conversations between, you know, the dentist and the pediatrician, you know, can only help the patient-centered world that, you know, we should be living in. So, but Mary, of course, she was fantastic because she had identified the famous case, which you can talk about, where actually a young boy died of an infection because of lack of oral health. So tell us about that story.
Well, the young man's name was Diamante Driver, and he was a Medicaid beneficiary in the Mid-Atlantic area, in the Maryland area, Washington, D.C. area. And he could not find, he had a tooth abscess, and he could not find his mother, who was really worked hard to try to get him care, could not find somebody to remove this tooth or to deal with this infected tooth that he had. And it went on for a couple of years where they'd treat it palliatively, in other words, antibiotics and maybe some pain medication, and then the infection would get under control, then it would flare up again. And the way the oral cavity works is that some of these infections drain in your lymphatic system, and some of those go through the brain. And so he ended up getting a brain infection, and literally hundreds of thousands of dollars later in hospitalizations, the poor young man passed away. And it could have been prevented with probably a $75 treatment, you know, 2 years prior, if they could have gained access to it. So it was, and it happened in the D.C. area, so it was really highlighted and really put a spotlight on the access issues that certain populations of our country have.
Tell us your process as you're looking at, you know, this whole topic.
Well, we decided, leadership at the company decided a while ago that we wanted to address some of the health disparities that are racially driven, and we generally wanted to address health disparities, but specifically oral health disparities. And there's a fair amount of research around the fact that certain communities have, for a variety of reasons, have fare much worse in terms of their oral health than other communities. And even if you adjust for socioeconomics and things like that, and we've gone off on a listening tour because I was advised by some of the national experts in the area to whatever we wanted to do, if we wanted to try to do a collaboration with a community or an intervention of some sort to try to improve the oral health of that community, that we needed to do it in collaboration with them, and we had to listen to what their priorities were first. So we've been on a listening tour talking to those communities. The term today is BIPOC, so Black, Indigenous people of color, and we're trying to understand what it is that their priorities are and how we could potentially do a pretty big, audacious program to try to improve the oral health through improved access and other strategies of those communities.
And I couldn't think of a better person to lead this, obviously, with Dr. Joe's overall experience, but specifically at Columbia. And he's going about this very thoughtfully and collaboratively. So more to come when probably this fall, you know, when we have Dr. Joe back, we'll be able to hear more, you know, on that program. So thank you, Dr. Joe, for leading and all that serious, you know, work that an important work you've done on that, as well as helping us with this, trying to get the adult Medicaid, you know, benefit into the New Hampshire, you know, population. So let's end on what I call the fun lightning round of dental topics. But before I do that, Dr. Mitch Carey, who works for Joe, celebrated his 50th anniversary as a participating dentist, and we've had Mitch on this program before, so we celebrated that at a March 4th all-employees virtual meeting. And so Mitch works for Joe, and Joe and I keep Mitch pretty busy, you know, with veterans and other work. So congratulations, Mitch. So quick lightning round. So toothbrush, manual or electric? What's the latest on that?
Well, there's quite a few studies that show that electric toothbrushes, particularly certain designs of them, do a better job than a manual toothbrush. It's certainly less left to technique. With a manual toothbrush is very much technique driven, but I personally use a manual brush because I don't like the vibration of an electric brush, but the research shows that electric brushes are actually better.
So
I happen to think my technique is pretty good, though.
I can imagine
being a dentist.
Being
trained, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Plus, I think sometimes when I've asked other dentists this on the show, they give Joe's answer. But also, whatever gets you to brush and floss, do it. If it's the manual one that you're comfortable with and you change that toothbrush frequently and don't share it, you know, with others, I mean, if that's the way to go, great. If you're facile with the electric, you know, toothbrush, that's great. We're running out of time, but when you go into a drugstore or supermarket, you see a plethora of toothpaste. So I think the answer is going to be just make sure there's fluoride in it, but tell us how you would answer that.
Yeah, fluoride is the really important ingredient in the toothpaste, and I just wouldn't use a toothpaste that didn't have fluoride in it.
There you go. And we're also, that's a nice sort of commercial for fluoride. Fluoridated water is a good thing, and that's something else we're dealing with, at the State House. So thank you, Dr. Joe Arante, Vice President, Provider Network and Clinical Strategies, for your efforts for Northeast Delta Dental, for the oral health disparities, for being a great member of the New Hampshire community. And we're fortunate that you moved here, and hopefully you're here for a long time to come. I might have to talk to your daughter about making sure she stays in the Concord area with the grandchildren. So thank you, Dr. Joe.